I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game. Running with maps sounds much safer than running with scissors. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce, who's in Mississippi this week. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
You're on the record as saying Penn State would be wise to consider canceling football for a while. After last Saturday's game between Penn State and Nebraska, Nebraska head coach Bo Pelini said he didn't think that game should have been played. Thoughts?
It's hard to know what he was doing. I mean, he did go in and get himself a win, which is a good thing for him. But, I mean, I would imagine that it was a terribly odd atmosphere around the game. And being the visiting team must have been strange in and of itself. So I guess I'm not surprised that he would react that way.
Syracuse put assistant men's basketball coach Bernie Fine on administrative leave after new allegations that he molested a ball boy. The accuser tells ESPN that Fine touched him inappropriately back in the 80s and 90s. Syracuse head coach Jim Boeheim says the allegations are false. The accuser is trying to capitalize on the Penn State scandal in order to make money. Is Syracuse handling this correctly so far?
Syracuse is. I don't know that Jim Boeheim is. Jim Boeheim should shut his pie hole on this issue. Because if it turns out to be true, he's going to look like a jackass. Anybody who thought Penn State was a one-shot was sadly mistaken. The Citadel thing broke almost immediately afterwards. And there are a lot of coaches out there coaching a lot of children in a lot of AAU basketball. And if I had to guess, I would guess that's where the next shoe was going to drop.
On Tuesday, two groups of NBA players filed antitrust lawsuits against the league. On Thursday, the league updated its owners in a 20-minute conference call that apparently included no discussion of future strategy or scheduling of future meetings. I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like a bad sign.
Well, it's in the hands of the lawyers now, so you can forget about any possible resolution till at least Christmas. I've come all the way around to the thinking that we are not going to have an NBA season this year. I don't see the two sides reconciling their differences at all. I think, you know, we have now passed into the netherworld of management intransigence. And it's to everyone's benefit to remember that a lockout is always a management strategy.
Well, Charlie, at least one person disagrees with you and still has hope. 76ers head coach Doug Collins has not yet booked his flight to spend Thanksgiving in Hawaii with his family because he is still hopeful that, quote, there is going to be NBA basketball. I think it might be time for Coach Collins to call his travel agent. What do you think?
I think it's time to book the flight. By the way, Thanksgiving in Hawaii? Macadamia nut stuffing.
College basketball has a new, quote, winningest coach. Does Mike Krzyzewski's assumption of that title mean that we can talk about Bob Knight less than ever before?
Well, we could certainly talk about his place in the game a little bit less than we could before. Krzyzewski's going to put this record so far out of reach that I doubt very seriously that anybody will catch him.
My favorite headline this week reads, quote, Major League Baseball strike/lockout ends after negative 24 days. Baseball's new collective bargaining agreement will reportedly be announced on Monday. The old one was good until December 11th. What was the rush?
They really didn't want to see headlines that read, Major League Baseball nearing lockout, which is exactly what they would have gotten if they let it go any further.
This is really a way to stick a thumb in the eye of the NBA, isn't it? We'll fix
it. Really
we'll
is,
come
yeah.
to terms.
We're baseball. We've been screwing up our labor management since before there was an NBA, and we can do it.
Meanwhile, the sale of the Houston Astros has been finalized, as has the agreement to send that team to the American League. The move will also add two more wild card teams to the playoffs. People in Houston seem less than enthusiastic, but are these good moves by Major League Baseball?
Well, I can tell you from not being in Boston this week and being out in the world, this is being treated as the Boston Red Sox Protection Act of 2011, these new playoff teams.
I mean, maybe if we move it down one more slot, the Red Sox will make the playoffs no matter
how
bad they are.
That's exactly right. The absence of the Red Sox in last year's playoffs has been noted. So anyway, they're going to have to eat. They're going to have to drink a lot of beer and eat a lot of fried chicken to miss the playoffs next year.
Dale Swaim is the new manager of the Chicago Cubs. According to ESPN, the Cubs went for, quote, the baseball guy instead of the biggest name available. Gee, you think the new manager feels better or worse about his new challenge after that?
Well, I mean, the big name guy was also probably more pronounceable than Dale Swaim. How he gets Swaim out of that, I will never know. He was a hot commodity. The Red Sox really entertained the idea of hiring him, too. Now he's decided to go to a franchise with a sad and glorious history of losing whose fans are not quite as indulgent as the ones in Boston.
The Denver Broncos are now 4-1 with Tim Tebow as quarterback. Playing the Jets on national TV on Thursday night, Tebow looked awful for 54 minutes, and then he won the game. Or was he just lucky?
He's just lucky that they've built a heck of a defense out there, basically. I am not going to go into the all-he-does-is-win camp yet. He's not an NFL quarterback. He may never be an NFL quarterback. They can gimmick up their offense for a while, but sooner or later, they're going to have to draft a real quarterback out there.
How, H-O-W-E, do you feel about the new class of Hockey Hall of Famers?
Well, first of all, there's never been a more Canadian-named class of hockey players. We have Doug Gilmour with a U, Eddie Belfour with a U, and then we have Joe Nieuwendyk, who has lots of U's and Y's and K's and is probably right up there with Krzyzewski and Swaim in terms of our new feature here on Only a Game, Sports Pronunciation 101. I'm really happy for Mark Howe. His father, Gordy, looked overjoyed at the ceremony. And it really does sort of put another ornament on what is really kind of a lovely family story.
The LA Galaxy team that plays the Houston Dynamo for Major League Soccer's championship tomorrow will feature the league's comeback player of the year. Anybody you've heard of?
Actually, it is. It's David Beckham.
Yes, indeed.
Now, let me say something here, and I know it's going to sound unkind, but everybody in the world of elite soccer thinks David Beckham is over the hill, right? What does he say that he's the MVP of the league in the United States?
No, he's the comeback player
of the year.
He's old. But he still
can. Okay, that's the living definition of washed up in athletics, Bill.
And finally, Charlie, I hope you were watching the Bills-Cowboys game last weekend because it featured the latest brave blow against the No Fun League struck by a player. Tell us about what Bills receiver David Nelson did with the football after he'd caught a touchdown pass.
Well, apparently he's involved in a romance with one of the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. And after scoring the touchdown, he ran all the way around the field to give his girlfriend the trophy of his success, the football. And good for him.
Charlie Pierce writes the politics blog for Esquire magazine. And, of course, he joins me each week at this time on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Bill. Cheerleader.
Town girl, you're my hometown.